seeking the Lord's help for that little time this morning. We turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 23. To Psalm 23. And although I only want to look at two or three aspects of this psalm, I think for all the time it takes, that we can read the whole psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now we do not know when David wrote this psalm, but there are thousands of years that have passed since it came into his heart to compose it, and it has been in daily use since that day. Most of us learned it in childhood, and most of us committed it to memory, and to this day we sing it in times of joy, also times of sorrow. We sing it at weddings, and we often sing it at funerals. Now this 23rd psalm has been to multitudes of people the comfort of life's closing years, and even life's closing moments, and it has dried up many a tear, and for many it has eased the way into the eternal world. And perhaps there is no psalm in which the absence of all doubts and misgivings and fear and anxiety are so marked, and certainly no more beautiful imagery could have been imagined or desired than of peace and rest and safety and trustful happiness than you have here, of a sheep lying down in the deep, rich grass of a meadow beside a flowing stream and under the watchful eye of the care and the tender, watchful eye of the shepherd. This is a psalm that is universally admired. Now, we have in the psalm, we have an appropriate expression here of the believer's past experience and his present feelings, and also his future hopes. And that would be appropriate for the we come to the close of another year. But for today, I wish to look at the psalm briefly, very briefly, by bringing before you something of the confidence that is expressed. And I want that by considering it in three ways. First of all, we have brought before us here the secret of a happy life. For it says there in verse 1, I shall not fear. And it also brings before us the secret of a happy death. For it says there, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And also it brings before us the secret of a happy eternity. Because it says there in verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now each of these for a little time. The first, the secret of a happy contented life I shall not want. I shall not want. Now in the peaceful, contented scene that is brought before us here, we see the care and the kindness of God towards his own people. And we see the safety and the security and the happiness of men when they are in a state of dependence upon God. As we read there, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. That is the instruction, that is the teaching of this, which this beautiful image sets before us. And as a shepherd is to his sheep, so is God to his own people. And as the sheep are to the shepherd, so are the believers to their God. In other words, the relationship that we see here, it informs us what the Lord is to the believer and what the believer is to the Lord. The relationship between them. Now, the strength of that relationship lies in that little word that you have there, my shepherd, my shepherd. The provision, the protection grows out from that possession, from that possession. Now, that little word, my, makes all the difference in this world and in the world that is to come. My wife makes that person to be different from others. My mother sets that person apart from other women. My sister sets that person apart from others. My child is an expression full of love, sweetness, tenderness, love. But to be able to say, my Saviour, to be able to say, my Shepherd, that is the best and the sweetest expression of them all. Because with such a Shepherd as the Lord, how could we want, or what can anyone who stands in that relationship ever be in need of? Does he not know earth wants? Does he not know us better than ourselves? Is he not able to supply all our needs? Has he not all power in heaven and on earth? Is there not a fullness, an inexhaustible fullness, treasured upon him for the purpose that he may supply to his own? Will I lack any good thing? The Bible tells us the lions were singing together, the lions young, they may lack their food. But those that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. They shall not lack any good thing. Anything that is good for them. Oh, we need many things. We need our righteousness so that we can stand before God. Well, the righteousness of Christ will be upon those who believe in him. They will be robed with it, clothed with it. Do we need grace for the way? And we all need grace for the way. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Do we need peace in this troubled world? Well, Christ said, my peace I leave with you. That is his legacy to his people and his gift. My peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. That's his gift. But more than that, not only is there a provision for us, but himself. That is the greatest reason why none of his people shall ever want. Because the infinite God himself is ours. The Lord is my shepherd. The psalmist said in another psalm, mine own God is he. Mine own God is he. And that means that the Lord is as much my God as if there was no one else in the whole world to claim him. And whatever may be the rights, whatever may be the claims of angels or seraphs or cherubs, or even the souls, the hosts of the redeemed, and they cannot, none of these things can lessen my claim. He is my portion. He is my inheritance. Because all God is mine. All the future, all the fullness that is in God, all the attributes, all his love, all himself, all is mine. For he said, I am thy God. The church of old could say, my beloved is mine. And I am his. Do we often think of that? Do we often think of that? Between here and heaven, there is nothing that I shall want but what my God has supplied. That is what he promises. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. And it's added as a bonus. It's thrown in as an extra. An old Puritan put it like this, that earthly comforts are like the paper and string which you do not need to buy. When you have them given to you after you buy or purchase something that is of value. When a young man and a young woman goes in to pay to buy an engagement ring, well, you do not pay for the box and the string and the paper. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's an argument from the greater to the lesser. If he give us his son, what will he withhold from his own people? God is not like a duke of long ago. I think it was the Duke of Alva who promised to spare the lives of certain Protestants and then denied them food so that they died of starvation. All food we need. And he will give all the manna we need from Goshen to Canaan. He will give us all we need from here unto heaven. And water from the rock, all the way through the wilderness, to the promised land. Now people think today that if they were left a great legacy, or if they won a fortune on the lottery, that they would have no wants. But I ask you, if you won the lottery tomorrow with all its millions, and today, and tomorrow God said to you, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee, what would be the gain? Like the rich fool who said, I have increased in goods. He had built bigger and better barns. And he was going to say, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And God said, you fool, tonight your soul will be required. And I ask you, what would be the good? And the irony of it all, that said, and whose shall those things be? For who knows whether the one who comes after will be a wise man or a fool? What is that to the child of God who can say, I am saved, I am forgiven, I am justified, I am adopted. I have heaven I have heaven. All people lose their souls for gold, after gold in this world, and the saints in heaven walk on it. They walk on it. God's people have infinitely more than all that, because they are joint heirs with Christ. Of all people, the Christian should be most happy, most cheerful. All heavenly things are ours. Whatever belongs to any child of God belongs to you, belongs to me. If we ourselves belong to the Good Shepherd, heaven is our portion. And Christ has given us that large and great dominion to enjoy world without end. World without end. Oh, with such a shepherd, whether we look at the blessings of time or look at the glories of eternity, it is the Christian's privilege to say, I shall not want. I shall not want. The sun rises, the sun sets, the seasons come and the seasons go, years come like the end of the year. Come, they run their course. But more steadfast than all these is the goodness and the mercy that follows the child of God. But he can say, if, because that person can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And he can say that he shall not want. And that is the secret. That is the key to a happy life, whatever we may think. But I want to look for a little also at the secret that we have here of a happy death. For it says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. To enjoy the care of their heavenly shepherd in all seasons, at all times, is the peculiar privilege of the flock of God. And so, in every emergency, therefore, it becomes them to place their fullest confidence in the wisdom and in his power and in his love. During what is past, we have found that he has led us in the right way. Why then should we not believe that at the very end of their earthly life, he will still, why can we not believe that he will still be near to protect, to provide for us? In other words, a Christian can calmly consider every possible trial and every trouble, and every suffering, and every enemy, and every danger that awaits him. But relying upon this shepherd, he can say, he can even say this, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. The valley of the shadow of death is a strange, it's in fact a remarkable expression. It is sometimes used to represent terrible trials. These extreme difficulties and danger, that is the lot of human beings. Things that darken our day. Because for every one of us, none of us is the sky always blue. We don't always have a cloudless sky above us. But the meaning of the expression in this psalm is not limited to the troubles and the sufferings of this life. Although these are not excluded nor overlooked here, but it goes far beyond that and refers to the last and to the severest trial to which every one of us shall be exposed, and that is death. though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. And there he reaches the last point in this beautiful similitude, puts a finish to the whole picture that he has so graphically described. Because for he says the shepherd, what he's saying is that the shepherd who graciously tended and cared and abundantly supplied his people while they lived will also comfort them, so that they, as the Apostle Paul says elsewhere, that can be more than conquerors. More than conquerors to him that loved them. He will accompany them through the very valley of the shadow of death. Therefore, they need fear no evil. To the eye of sense, it appears as a terrible valley. It appears as a real valley, full of dangers, appalling. But to the eye of faith, it is but the semblance of a gloomy valley. None of the realities of danger. David called it the valley of shadow. In other words, he knew that it could only be the shadow, not the reality of evil, which he would encounter while in the company of this good shepherd, going through the valley of the shadow of death, because he was not only walking into that valley, but also walking through that valley. And he did not fear, because he knew, and it was his privilege to know, and ours also, that whatever may be the trials, whatever may be the difficulties in the valley of the shadow, he shall pass through them all in safety, because the Almighty Shepherd is with him. The valley may be deep, may be dark, it may be full of difficulties, but the Christian believer may say, I will walk through the midst of it all, and I will fear no evil, because even death shall be no death at all to them. And notice, it shall be a deliverance from death and from all the cares and pains and sorrows and anxieties and strife and sin and sickness. The very entrance, it is but the very entrance into rest, into the beginnings of an everlasting joy. It's a tasting of the heavenly pleasure so great that no tongue is able to express them, no eye to see, no ear to hear. Not any earthly man's heart can conceive. And so the psalmist says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I read somewhere not long ago of a little boy who was on board a vessel that was in the midst of a storm. The gale buffeted the ship until everyone was distressed, knowing that the ship was in terrible peril. There was not a sailor, and certainly not a passenger who would not be full of alarm. But the little boy was without any fear. No alarm with the tossing of the ship. He was asked why he was so little afraid at such a time. Well, he said, my father is the captain. He knows. He knows how to manage. In other words, he did not think it possible that the ship would come to any harm while his father was in command. No, I know there is much folly in such a confidence. But the pilgrim, the Christian, while he is free from fear, is not free from fear without or because of ignorance. He is free from fear because he has a good reason for being free from fear. For he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He knows the captain. of his salvation. At the time, I want to throw a little more regarding the final thing that is brought before us there, or at least that I want to look at. Because the psalmist was not only looking at the past and the present, but he is also looking to the future. And so can we. And the key to the future, to a happy eternity, we have there in verse 6, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, when an appropriate ending to this most beautiful psalm, what a satisfying conclusion to the believer's hopes. Oh, may surely be expressing the desire there, the greatest desire of David's heart. Oh, he had confidence. He had conviction. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy would follow him all the days of his life." He tried to express the blessedness of his condition of having the Lord for his shepherd. And now he can go no higher, no higher at last than he has here. And that is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, he can conceive of no happier end. He can conceive of no happier home. He can conceive of no happy, no greater bliss than the home and the heart of his Heavenly Father. But to the psalmist, to the children of Israel, the house of the Lord was the dwelling place of the Most High. And who can describe the emotions of the pilgrim's soul? The astonishment, the wonder, the joy, the bliss, the satisfaction with all that he feels, and all that he beholds, and all that he fears, all that he hears, and all that he meets with, when he takes his place, as we are told in another place, along with the souls of the redeemed, made perfect, the spirits of just men, made perfect. He is now perfect to love. He is now perfect in peace. He is perfect in holiness. He is perfect in thought. He is perfect in feelings. He is perfect in his imaginations. Perfect in knowledge. Perfect in obedience. Offering perfect service. Unwearied. Uninterrupted. Everlasting. In them all. He has entered in, the mariner has entered into his desired haven. The pilgrim has now reached his rest. The stranger has reached home. The servant here, well done. The runners have finished their course. The soldiers have fought the good fight of faith. They have completed the course. They have won the battle. The little flock, fear not now. The poor find their treasure in heaven. They all behold the King in his beauty. And they live forever in his love. And the holy psalmist sums everything up, all of that blessedness, in this one declaration: "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The psalmist knew that there is nothing in God that will ever wear out. Nothing that will wear out. Nothing there that will wear out. Nothing that ever becomes exhausted. Nothing that ever ends. No goodness, no mercy, no pity, no love that lessens or ever diminishes or dies. It is as we read there, forever. God does. He does forever. Oh, many of us shrink from the changes that a new year may bring. Changes that come sooner or later into the lives of each one of us. Changes that are as inevitable as the setting of the sun. But amidst all these changes that come into our lives and into our experiences, let us think of the unchangeable nature, the unchangeable character of God, His goodness, His mercy. These are eternal and will follow us, His own people, all the days. And for the believer, although we think so often different, the future is not altogether a matter of speculation. It is not for the believer a matter of uncertainty altogether at all. Because what God has been in the days that are now past of this year and other years, what He has been, He will be in the days to come. He who was good is good and will forever be good. He changeth not, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now perhaps there are some, no doubt there are, who have never trusted your souls to this good shepherd. But I say to you, simply trust Him. Simply trust Him. Trust Him now. I was going to say, before the year ends. But I won't say that. I will say, trust Him now. Because this is the only time, today is the only day we have. And the Bible, tomorrow in the Bible is a very flimsy thing. Nothing substantial, like a vapor, tomorrow. We do not know what will be tomorrow. We have today. This is our day. So I say, trust Him now. Trust Him before this day ends. And if you do that, that will bring before you the secret, the key to a happy life. I shall not want. It will bring before you the key to a happy death. I shall fear no evil. It will bring before you and into your heart the key to a happy eternity. I shall dwell in the house of God forever. And like Ian Newton said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Think of that. Now, we approach the end of a year and we are reminded how here, how aptly this life of ours, that it is only a pilgrimage, how it corresponds to a pilgrimage. At our truest, at our best moments, we realize that this is not our rest. This is not our home. But this text, this psalm tells us of the house of the Lord, something that is symbolic of permanence and security. Oh, we, to most of us who come from the islands, home
is a very special meaning, even in a day when there is so much sin. Still, to many people, home is a sweet word. And if we desire more than a house, the word that is translated house in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word for home. So that when the pilgrimage is over, to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord, safe forever. Now, some people may think that, weird as it may seem, that Christ bought his people with his blood and that he may lose them. But I do not believe that. I don't think many here will believe it either. When a thing costs you dear, oh, you take great care of it. And if it costs you your life, you're not really part with it. And Christ would sooner lose his life than lose his people. He died once to save them. And until he dies again, it is not possible. They shall never perish. Has he not said himself, I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. Did he not say, because I live, ye shall live also? In other words, his life has entered into them, and it shall never leave them. And what eternal life means, surely, but life that lasts forever and ever. None lost in the day that he makes up his jewels. There will be none of his sheep. I think it was Lachlan Mackenzie O'Carroll who said that if one of his sheep were missing at the last, he would turn the whole universe upside down until he found it. But there will be none lost in the day that he makes up his jewels. So I say to you, love Christ. Put your trust in him. And love him not just to escape a lost eternity, but love him to experience the bliss in his Father's house forever and ever and ever. And to that end, may the Lord bless these few thoughts on Psalm 23. Let's pray. O grant thy blessing upon us. May thy power accompany thy word, for we know that without thee we can do nothing. A Paul may plant and Apollos may water, but the increase thou hast retained in thine own hands. We bless thee for this, and pray that as thy word goes forth today, here and elsewhere, that there would be fruit even unto a plentiful harvest. Be with us in our evening hour of worship. Bless each one of us as our dear near sea of need and pardon our sins for Jesus' sake.